Welcome to the Crazy Egg Fan Podcast. I'm your host, Teddy. No matter where you are, thanks for making this part of your day. Thanks for taking a listen. Follow me across social media at Crazy Ike Fan on Instagram and on X, Crazy Ike Fan Facebook page. What's up, I could do this in Greek football fans from around the world. Not to state the obvious, but very cold, rainy day here to fit my mood where I live. Oh gosh, I definitely thought this podcast was going to sound a lot different before yesterday's Euro qualifying match between Georgia and Greece, where Greece go out on penalties and yet miss out on another international competition. There's not much to say, man. You know, for years now, it's been disappointing to go tournament after tournament where, yeah, you're the football fan, you're excited. International tournaments are awesome to watch, especially the Euros and the World Cup. But there's always that little bit of, you know, why isn't Elada here? Why can't we see them in a tournament again? We have such great talent. And then again, we have to say it again this summer. It would have been a storybook ending to this drought that we've had for now, that's going to go on for over 10 years of making international competitions, to be the 20th year anniversary of Ike lifting the Euro Cup, you know, in 2004, to have them back in this competition, at least in a tough group, but at least we would get to see some Elada, you know. Tough day. Not really much to say as far as the game. I watched it over at a friend's house. A lot of Eliness. It's just, and not to take away anything from Georgia, congrats to them making their first international tournament. What a big day for Georgian football, for the country of Georgia. Hats off. They did what they had to do. But let's be realistic and honest here. Greece should have won. Anything short of that is failure. I mean, you know, when the draw came out that we were going to play Kazakhstan and then possibly play Luxembourg or Georgia in the final, I thought to myself, we're a shoo-in. And that was the vibe yesterday. We were joking around. Quanto tarfito golaki. We were all waiting for the goal to go in to where we could finally all breathe a sigh of relief. You know, we were all, it was a nice mixed bag of fans there. Panathinaiki, Olympiaki, I could see this. A couple of us, I could see this. We were talking about the derbies coming up this weekend. You know, jokes were being made. I know one guy made a joke to me about, you know, oh, Rota's coming into the game, huh? He's going to have a hard time with Podence this weekend. So a lot of fan banter going on back and forth, but it was a very light mood. We never thought we were going to come to the end of this game and be so depressed. Now, I wasn't able to stay. I was able to stay till the end of regulation, and then I came home, had some stuff to do, and watched overtime back home, and the PK shootout. But man, it's tough to say. And you can't point the finger at one thing. Yeah, some of the moves that Poye made were very stupid. Now, I haven't, you know, gotten the vibe back home in Greece. I'm sure it's pretty depressing. I was just so gutted and so depressed after this loss. It happens sometimes, you know, where it's like, I don't feel like going onto the radio. I don't feel like listening to what everyone's opinion is. I have my own opinion about the match. I don't want to listen to anybody. I don't want to listen to anything right now. I get that way sometimes with Ike. With Ike, it's a little bit different because it can kind of be a little entertaining when we lose. Not that I ever want us to lose, but you guys get the idea. It's not fun to lose, but it makes for great radio, great TV watching, great fan banter when you do lose, is what I'm getting at. But this was just, because you know the next tournament, now we go into World Cup qualifiers. Is there a chance we're going to qualify for the World Cup? Because it doesn't happen so often, this was, you forgot how bad it was for the Ethniki to lose. You know, before, we've gotten used to the past few years or qualifiers not being there, here, right, you know, it was ripe for the picking for Greece to qualify for this tournament. Anyway, so I didn't really listen to much radio, not get very much other people's opinions, but my opinion is it was a failure completely all around. You guys know, if you listen to this podcast, I don't talk much Ethniki. I just don't follow the ins and outs, honestly, because I think Epo is a complete S show. And I think that's the biggest problem with Ethniki is they don't have a good structure. How do we say it in Greek? The fish smells from the head. After kefali mirizi to psari, and that's true. If you don't have good support at the head with your federation, I mean, you could even look at examples. If you go in the past, I know Argentina are successful now, but for years Argentina made a lot of wrong moves because of how bad their federation was. There was a point even in Argentina where the federation was so broke, the players had to pay their own way to go to major tournaments. And you can't have success that way. It has to be, you all have to be one body. But I think from the top to the bottom, it was a complete failure. Some of the moves that Poyet made were terrible. Taking out Unaidis, who wasn't injured, putting in Yakumakis, who's a more open style play, who's a striker that needs, he needs Choros Ganakinithi. He needs space to be able to really contribute, and he needs to get the ball in the area and have nice, you know, one touch shots, which with how close the defense was for Georgia, that was not a possibility. That was a crappy move. By Poyet, not just one. But I think overall, the team just didn't match the energy. You knew you were going into a hostile environment, which that, you know, I've heard some people talk about that here and there. And I was texting back and forth with some friends and talking to some friends afterwards. And they said, you know, we went into that hostile environment. That's BS. That's bullocks, as our friends in the British Isles would say. Because you can't tell me these players have not played in hostile environments before. I mean, just I players alone, Rota, Mandalos, they've gone into Karaiskaki, they've gone into a burning tumba before. You've played in hostile environments as a professional footballer. You've played in hostile environments your entire career. That's no excuse. Now, they did not match the energy that the Georgian players had. They did not match the desire that these players had. They played scared, in my opinion. They you could tell the players were scared. They were scared to lose this game. And I knew it. I got this gut feeling around the 75th minute. I didn't say anything because I didn't want people to call me a Grushizadi. But I just knew we were going to go to penalties and lose in penalties. I just knew it. The goal was never going to come. And that's what happens. We all know football. We know that when you're playing whoever the underdog is, the more and more time goes on, the more and more confidence that team gets, the more and more anxiety comes into the energy of the favorite team, right? So they were getting more and more confidence. They were more well prepared for penalty kicks. That's where they wanted to take the game. That's where they either wanted to counter, which they countered really good a few times. And honestly, if they had a little bit more quality at the front, this game could have been a different story, unfortunately. I mean, not much to say, man. Just a kind of sombering day today with everything going on with Ethniki. Just disappointment. Disappointment all around. They missed a golden opportunity. Who knows if another opportunity like this is going to arise where we're going to be able to play this level of competition. Again, no offense in saying that to if there's any Georgians out there listening to this podcast. No offense. They did what they had to do. Hats off to them. A great day for that country. But Greece should have done better. Should have played better. You know, we had that one Lugardi with, I think, who was it, Mavropanos? And that's it. I mean, no other really chances. Nothing. This wasn't a game where you could say Greece had three or four amazing chances and you're like, ah, I think I'm Ifkiris. If you guys remember, back in the last, I think it was the last major tournament we made back in the World Cup 2014 against Costa Rica, where we missed a lot of good chances in overtime to win that one. nothing here, nothing. But they brought no energy. You could tell this team was scared. But anyway, let me not digress too much. Unfortunately for Greek football, bad day yesterday. Was looking forward to coming in here, very high energy, very excited to talk about, you know, Greece making it to the 2024 Euros, you know, 20th anniversary of us winning it in 2004. And you really think about it. I mean, for me being older, time flies, and I'm sure many of you guys out there feel the same way. But now there's been a whole generation of players that hasn't made a major tournament, which sucks for them, because I think they deserve it. At times they played well. Against Kazakhstan, they played fantastic. Yes, consider the quality of your opponent. But even in the group stages, even in the group stage with such hard teams that they had to play against, France, who's one of the top teams in the world, Sweden, who is a few, let's be honest, a few levels above Greece. Like, you thought you could overtake Sweden and qualify second, but that didn't happen. And Ireland, who's more at the level, maybe like a level behind Greece. So a very tough group for Greece to qualify, and to be able to make it here was impressive. And some of the football that Gus Poyet had us playing was decent, you know. But just a terrible, terrible result. Let's try to move on here. Let's try to get into the groove. Let's try to talk about what happened in the first match day of the playoffs, Lamia Ike, and then move forward to look at what's going to be a hell week for Ike, coming up with three derbies, starting off with Ike welcoming Olympiacos to Nea Filadelfia in a massive, massive derby. So let's get to it, guys. Let's take things in chronological order. Ike beat Lamia 4-0 in Lamia, and were able to, with compilated with other results, were able to regain the top spot in the Greek Super League. Collins opens the scoring in the 47th minute after a rebound. Lamia goalkeeper could not hold onto the ball after a shot by Ponce. So Collins there for the rebound, able to put it in the back of the net. For an Ike team that was pressing a lot, had a lot of free kicks in the first half. But still, first half kind of a little nerve-wracking, you know, when that ball doesn't go in, as we just described in the Greece-Georgia match. When you're playing a team that's an underdog, you don't get that goal in and you start giving them hope. The more and more time goes on, the more and more your anxiety builds up and their confidence builds up. But Ike able to get a second one, and Ponce in the 68th minute, he finds the back of the net again, and then Garcia subbed in so he can get some time. And from then on, it was the Garcia show the last 10 minutes of this match. I mean, Garcia fires a rocket in the 88th minute. Fantastic goal if you haven't seen it. Dribbles the ball from about a little bit up halfway, a little bit past midfield. Players trying to bring him down. Players trying to hold him down. He even looks back at the player for Lamia Lake and is like, "Get off of me, son!" And then just shoots a rocket in the 90, upper 90 of Lamia's goal, and the keeper, nothing he could do there. Fantastic goal. I mean, this could go down as goal of the season, definitely for him, but maybe in the Super League. In the 93rd minute, he takes a nice through ball by Lubicic. The ball that Lubicic was able to give, I mean, this guy's so impressive. If you watch the replay of this goal, he's got three Lamia defenders right outside the box looking at him. One that's keeping Levy Garcia onside and is able to thread the ball through to Levy Garcia and kind of play him open a little bit. Levy Garcia does a great move, tripla, to avoid one Lamia defender, and then puts the ball in the back of the net. So the first goal from Levy Garcia, I just said, was fantastic. Maybe goal of the season, but from a skill level perspective, because you'll see a lot of players take those shots from outside the box, and most of the time, finding at that peristeria, or it's hard to, if you've ever played football before, I kick around the ball every once in a while. It's hard to really make that happen, per se. But the second goal for me was even more impressive because it was a true striker's goal. He was able to get the ball in a good position and did not miss. You know, there were times where when he played striker last season, we saw him miss opportunities like this, or he shot it on the keeper the way he brilliantly was able to put this ball away on the second goal was very impressive for me, and just phenomenal. I mean, Jesus, this guy has already had his goal total from last season in almost half the amount of matches. Could you imagine if this poor guy was healthy all season long, where I could be? It's incredible. Hopefully he stays healthy. Since we started talking about health for the first time this season, and this is massive, going into this next week where you have Olympiacos on Sunday, Panathinaikos, you go into Lefortos on Wednesday, and then finish off with welcoming PAOK the following Sunday. Massive week for Ajax, where every player is fully fit, every player is available at Almeida's disposal, which is going to be huge coming up this week. Hopefully everyone can stay healthy, and Almeida's got some questions. Almeida's got some questions that he's going to answer. Who do you start, Ponce or Garcia at this point? I mean, looking at the skill level of Garcia, they're both on fire. I mean, heck, why not start both of them? Only half kidding there. So then during the international break, to talk about this a little bit, I traveled to Limassol, Cyprus, where they were playing a friendly to celebrate the 70th year of the existence of Apollon Limassol, a team from Cyprus. Many of you that are Greek football fans will know this. And then to also celebrate the 100 years of Ike, obviously, because there's a lot of Ike fans in Cyprus, and they showed up in numbers, and it was very fun atmosphere to see. Very nice to see all the Ike do this in Cyprus. I wasn't able to catch this match. For the record, Ike won 1-0 with a goal from Van Weert in the 9th minute. A lot of players missing. That was a little worrisome for Ike. To kind of go back to this, during this international break, who would come back healthy? Hopefully we didn't have any major injuries. We were starting to hit a good stride where players were getting very healthy. Ike had a lot of players, travel for this international break, so that was always a concern. But all's well, ends well. I mean, besides the fact that a lot of that didn't qualify, seems like everyone's coming back healthy. I think they're still waiting on the arrival of everyone should be back except for Vida and Collins, if I heard correctly this morning. So, all right. Now, before we go on and talk about the derbies coming up, just briefly, there's not really much to say. Anyway, let me get to that point here in a second. I do want to talk a little bit about, tip my hats off to them. Some of you Exodus might not like this, but I said that I also discuss on what happens with Greek football. Greek football was on such a high going into this international break too, right? Because you knew these were two winnable games. These were games Greece should have won. I got a text message from one of my friends that said, you know, not to revert back to this, but, and I had the same feeling that if Greece did not qualify, if they couldn't beat Georgia and beat Kazakhstan, then you don't deserve to qualify. Rightfully so, they don't deserve to qualify. But shout out to my friend Vasily who sent that text message, and we were talking about that. Greek football was going in on this on a high because you had two very big victories by PAOK and Olympiacos in Europe. Two anatropes, two comebacks that were historic in level. I mean, look, I tip my hats to them. I've always said this. I'm not one of those Greek football fans that either cheers or jeers teams in Europe. That's to say that I wasn't sitting here definitely not wearing a Dinamo Zagreb jersey or hat that day when PAOK were playing Dinamo Zagreb. And I'm also not, you know, waving the Maccabi Tel Aviv flag, hoping that they were going to win. But, you know, I applaud them. They had two great comeback victories. Great for Greek football. Great for the coefficiency. But, holy crap, are we on course for a... God, do I really need to say this? As hard as this would be, are we on course to see a final, a PAOK Olympiacos final in Hagia Sophia for a European... Oh, I'm sorry, I just threw up in my mouth. I hope no one's eating. That was a joke. I know I get into these coughing spells, but that was a bad joke on my part. Look, I mean, Bauk, let's take the victories one by one. Bauk's victory to me was more impressive. They were both impressive because of the results that had come the weekend before, where you had Bauk lost at home against arch rivals Addis, who seems like this Akis Manzios Addis side, or Akis Manzios really takes, he seems to be a real thorn in Lucescu's side, who Lucescu's barely beaten when facing Akis Manzios. I think he beat him once in Xanthi. He's been winless against Akis Manzios at Bauk when Akis is managing Addis. Big victory for Addis. And I said that before in the last podcast was, how is Addis going to react? How is Addis going to go into this match? And I said, Addis not laying down. Addis just not going to lay down, I think, for anybody, and especially when they play Bauk. So that was able to, you know, with that result, was able to leapfrog Bauk. And then Olympiacos lost 3-1, a very distasteful and bad match played by Olympiacos. 3-1 at home in Karaiskaki against Panathinaikos. So they were coming off of very bad results. And then on top of it, Bauk, in the first match in Zagreb, did not have a shot on target. I mean, they looked very bad, quite frankly. I watched most of that match. They did not look good in Zagreb. So the fact that we're able to pull off this miracle and able to score so much against such a good team, Dinamo Zagreb, look, from one side, I'm happy because they beat these Nazi bastards. You got to tip your hat off. And you know, I don't... Those of you that have listened to this podcast for a long time know my thoughts on Skoufaki, Capota Head, as I like to call him, Lucescu. I don't like him, per se, but hey, they got the job done. And then Olympiacos, not to say that Olympiacos, the way they played, then the goals that they scored was not impressive, but if anyone watched the first leg in Karaiskaki, I watched it with a few good friends of mine that are Olympiaki, they did not play that bad. I mean, the score line was not, it was one of those score lines where if you looked at the score, you'd be like, okay, Maccabi Tel Aviv dominated. It was an unfair score line for Olympiacos. But I didn't think they still would have such a great chance to go into, I mean, obviously this wasn't a hostile environment, obviously because of the stuff that's going on in Israel or in Palestine. You know, the things that are going on there, the war, all the Israeli teams are having to play abroad. So this was in a stadium that Olympiacos were familiar with in Topola, Vrajko Topola. But still, for them to come back and be able to score 6 goals and qualify, very big wins. And I think Fener and Olympiacos, I think, are very evenly matched. It depends on what Olympiacos team shows up to play. I don't think they can afford to have a bad defensive game like they did against Maccabi Tel Aviv. I think Fenerbahce is a totally different animal, totally different opponent. But very evenly matched there. And I think that Bauk have a decent chance against Club Brugge, the Belgian side, to go through. So we don't know what can happen. I'm not going to wish either of them luck, but like I said, I don't cheer, I don't jeer. Anyway, but it was so sad to see this great day of Greek football in Europe, and Greek football was on such a high from this to what the catastrophe that came yesterday in Tiflida, in Tbilisi. Terrible. But let's move on. Ike, welcome Olympiacos into Agia Sofia. Was talking about this yesterday with a few good friends of mine that are Olympiacos fans. Don't know. There was one guy that made a comment, and I do agree with him, that said both of these matches mirizunehi, which means in Greek means or in English means both of these matches look to be a draw. I kind of agree with that sentiment, because you don't know what Olympiacos team is going to show up, or you don't know which Ike team is going to show up either. If both teams are very, all teams in the Greek Super League, I think we've established this, are very susceptible defensively. But what Ike team is going to show up? Is an Ike team going to show up where Garcia or Ponce are going to be on, or both of them are going to be on fire, and they're going to be able to hit the target, be able to put the ball in the back of the net up against a shaky Olympiacos defense? We don't know. How shaky is Ike's defense going to be? You know, Ike's defense, for the quality and the players that it has, are we going to let in a late goal? One thing to keep in mind, and I've said this before, to always be fearful of a talented team that has their back against the wall. And Olympiacos, from speaking from the league perspective, have their back against the wall. This is a do or die game for Olympiacos. For Ike, if Ike are able to win all three of these derbies, which I'm going to be a realist, as a fan, do I hope and do I have faith in this team that they can win all three games and come out with a little bit of a lead here by next Monday, whenever that's going to be, April 12th or whatever it is. Whatever that following Monday is going to be after the derby with Pauk. Yeah, I mean, I want them to, but as a realist, do I think winning three big derbies against the three co-contending teams in a week is feasible? I don't know. I think that it's going to be tough for Ike. It's a big week. It's also the game of the season for Olympiacos, because if you lose this game and you fall 8 points behind Ike, right now they're 5 points behind Ike, that becomes, even though Olympiacos was dead in the water like a month and a half ago when they were behind this much, the other teams were starting to kind of play each other. So Olympiacos were able to take advantage of the other teams either making mistakes against smaller teams. They went on a little bit of a run themselves. Now you have derby after derby after derby. You're not going to make up that difference. I mean, I'd be shocked if you did. If Olympiacos loses this weekend to Ike and then ends up winning the championship, then I throw every book that I know about football out the window, let's say. So they're playing for their season, and they're coming in off a high, having that great European victory. Now, it will be like, what, 10 days, or a little over 10 days, almost 2 weeks removed from that. So very interesting to see which two teams are going to show up, who's going to play better. Really, I don't have a prediction for this game because it's been so long, and I get the fact we have to fit international breaks in during the season, but it's frustrating when it happens because it's like it kind of disrupts the rhythm of the team. Now, as far as a starting lineup, I don't know what the starting lineup's going to be, because you have to think, you know, with then going into Los Foros for the other two derbies, I'm sure against Olympiacos, you have to come out full force. You have to come out to win this game. This is going to be an interesting derby. I could see both teams kind of playing closed at times. Olympiacos a little more because they are a little susceptible. A little bit weaker defensively than Ike are. I just don't need to make mistakes. If you have the lead, even if it's 1-0 or 2-1 or whatever the lead may be, I definitely don't think, as one of my friends that is an Olympiacos fan joked around with me saying that, oh, we're going to smash you guys this weekend. You see what we did to Maccabi Tel Aviv? I definitely don't think that's going to happen. Listen, as we say in Greek, στο ποδόσφαιρο όλα γίνονται. Let's hope, as Ike fans, we hope that doesn't happen, but όλα γίνονται. I just don't see that happening against a quality opponent that is Ike, even though Olympiacos are coming in on a little bit of a high. They're still a rebuilding team. That same day, to talk about this a little bit, you have Panathinaikos PAOK, or PAOK Panathinaikos. I forget where this game is played. Very big to see what happens in that match too. If Ike are able to beat Olympiacos, then whatever happens, whichever team loses that match, what can you say? Every match from here on out is going to be huge. It's going to be a very interesting week. But if Ike can, this is a big one. This is a lot of people would say that Ike's main contender is Panathinaikos overall. Because Falcon and Ibiakos have been shaky, very shaky at times this season. I think everyone has been a little shaky. I think everyone has dropped points, obviously. I think there's no clear-cut favorites. I think they're all contending. But if I can bury Olympiacos Sunday, and I don't mean that from a scoreline perspective, I mean that if they can win, this sets up very, very nicely for Ike. Then you go into Los Foros, at least hoping to tie or get another victory. I don't know. This is going to be a very interesting week. Really thinking about it and pondering it right now in my head. Very interesting week coming up in the Greek Super League. After such a long international break, how does the emotions for some of these Greek players, Unaidis, you know, how does the emotions, do the emotions carry over from such a devastating loss with the national team, Rota, Mandalos, to name some Ike players that were playing. You know, Masuras, who's going to start on the Olympiacos side? Is Podence going to start or is Masuras going to start at the wing for Olympiacos? Who do you start as Ike? You know, Sidibe or Rota? How's Rota going to be after playing? You know, I mean, he played towards the end of the regulation and then also played the entire overtime. These are questions that, you know, I have perspective going on to the past, but at the same time, you know, if I was to take Olympiacos' league form specifically, where they were before the international break in the league, I would say Ike are favorites, but, you know, they show that they can play Bala in Europe and against Maccabi Tel Aviv. So we don't know what's going to happen. I'll be back. Hopefully I'll be back and record again after the Olympiacos derby. If not, I'll definitely be back and record next week after we play Panathinaikos. Not really much more to say. Not because there hasn't been any action over the past couple weeks. We don't know where any of these teams stand. So very interesting. I think, you know, as I've said before, these playoffs as a neutral or, you know, if you were not a diehard or just from an entertainment standpoint, this is going to be a highly entertaining weekend and a very anticipating week. And let's talk a little bit about, before I go here, following these matches, Ike will have all three of these derbies. If they can come out on top at the end of this somehow, now which way they come out on top, there's a lot of different mathematical scenarios where Ike could, if Ike are at least within striking distance, which I believe they will be, there's no way even if you lose all three of the, God forbid we lose all three of these matches, but even if, let's say, you do lose all three of these matches, you're still going to be within a striking distance. Then you have a game against, you have, I think, both games against Addis and Lamia. So you have the more, for lack of a better word, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, inferior teams, the bottom half of the playoffs to play while everyone else is going to be beating up on each other. So it'll be very interesting where Ike are at after all three of these derbies are done in about 10 days. Anyway, guys, let me let you guys go here. Opus panda, but yeah, forza, I gotta get that next week.